Father, thank you for allowing us to gather again today to pray for the gift of prayer. Oh Lord, may we exercise it, may we keep control over it and not surrender it to the other side through prayerlessness, Lord. The weapon. In any fight, there's always strong focus on getting control of the weapon. And so, Lord, may we use it today for your great glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we're going to look at maybe the first and only prayer in the Bible from Samson. Last time, we talked about his calling to his godly parents, Manoah and his wife, and that they were to separate him apart, and he was to be a Nazarite vow his whole life. And God had a plan to bring Israel out from under the foot of the Philistines, who had ruled over them for a 40-year period because of Israel's wickedness before that. But we see Samson, as we would look at it, or as I would look at it, I would think he lived a very mediocre life, although he had great potential, because when the Spirit came upon him, he had all this tremendous super strength. And apparently he was not a Charles Atlas kind of a guy that you look at him and see all these muscles bulging all over the place, because they all wanted to find out what the secret of his strength were. I mean, if you could see his muscles, you'd probably know that his strength was in his muscles, but apparently he didn't look maybe any different than anybody else. But when the Spirit came upon him, here was his superhuman strength. And yet his lust, he could not control his lust, and his obedience to the Lord and to being set apart for the things that were pure and staying away from the unclean things, he violated over and over and over again. Now, he did cry out to the Lord one other time after he had killed a thousand Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. He was very thirsty, and he basically was kind of almost complaining before the Lord. Lord, I did all of this for you. Now, are you going to let me die of thirst? But it really wasn't pleading to the Lord. It really wasn't crying out to the Lord in humility or anything like that. And so we would say, well, here's a man who really kind of blew it, just a mediocre guy, kind of a came and he went, just another judge. But we get to the book of Hebrews in the Hall of Faith chapter, and there he is, which is very encouraging to me. I see the hand of grace here in the Lord. And so we see here that God saw something in him enough to put him in that Hall of Faith chapter, and he had the faith, even in his dying breath, to turn to the Lord, and he turned to the Lord, and the Lord answered his cry. So I wanted to just sing a hymn this morning and kind of along these lines. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, do not pass me by. And we see Samson really finishing well. And is that not our desire, that we would finish well? And we cannot finish well without the Lord. We can't do anything without the Lord, but we certainly can't finish well without the Lord. So let's sing this together. It's just a couple of verses. Verses 1 and 4, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, the Joslin Choral Society, and let's sing along with them. Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, hear my humble cry. Fall on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Page 4.
Spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. beside thee, whom in heaven but thee. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Amen. So, as I mentioned, chapter 16 of the book of Judges, and we have this prayer of Samson's at the end of his life. You know the story, how he was set apart, to be set apart his whole life. But, and he ruled, we read, as judge for 20 years. But he was constantly falling into sin. And, of course, chapter 16, in the beginning, has all about Delilah continuing to question him as the source of his strength, and he foolishly continues to come closer to the truth, as when we get into sin, it blinds us, and we lose this sense of discernment, and pretty soon he tells her that the secret of the strength is in not having a razor touch his head, and so immediately she calls the Philistine lords in, who had promised her a lot of money, threatening in one thing or another. And they cut the hair off. And then a tragic thing, it says, Samson jumped up as before in verse 20, but he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. He didn't know that the Lord had departed from him. So the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with fetters and he became a grinder. Of course, we see the steps of sin there, blinding and then grinding, and finally you end up as a slave to it, and he is being used to grind the meal there in the prison. Now, the Philistines, after all of that, kind of forgot about him, I guess, and didn't pay too much attention. Of course, they would be godless people about his hair, and his hair grew back out. Now, his strength is not in his hair, but his hair was an indication of his commitment to the Lord. And so now he cries out to the Lord one final time. So to make sport out of him, they had this big festival, and they all gathered on the roof, basically, of the temple of Dagon. And it says in verse 23, now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and rejoice. And they said, our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God has delivered him, our God has delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our land, the one who multiplied our dead. So it happened when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson that he may perform for us. So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them. And they stationed him between the pillars. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them. Now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. Now here's a great prayer. Verse 28, then Samson called to the Lord. Samson called to the Lord, saying, O Lord Yahweh, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Remember me, I pray. What a great prayer for all of us. Strengthen me, yes. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. So God answers the prayer.
Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the Lord's and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. And his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtahol in the tomb of his father Manoah. He judged Israel 20 years. Amazing, is it not? Now, I think, obviously, the Israelites, if you look in hindsight, blew a big opportunity here. All the lords of the Philistines had been killed. They'd be so demoralized, they would have been relatively easy maybe to throw the yoke of the Philistines off. And maybe if Samson had been true to his calling, he would have taken care of the Philistine yoke, and that would have been the end of it. But it didn't happen. You know, the Philistines were a thorn in Israel's side all the way till David defeated them much later. So what do we have here? Well, we have a man that if you look at his whole life up until that point, you would say it was a waste. He's dying in it because of his sin and the consequences of his sin. He's blinded. He's a grinder. He's being made sport of. He's being used to entertain the enemy. But we see there's a great passage in Jeremiah 15:19 that you know. It says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord, speaking to Israel, if you return from your wickedness, then I will bring you back. You shall stand before me. If you take the precious from the vial, you shall be as my mouth." And I think it's so important to notice that God does take the precious from the vial. Is there anyone in this room who's perfect? Is there anyone in this room who can get through one day without sin? Is there anyone in this room who has the right motives for everything they do? I don't think so. And yet God sees, and he hears, and he knows. And I believe he will give crowns to us for doing something for him. And we need to do it with the right motives, and we want to do our best. But I don't know, is there one job you've ever done for the Lord that you did it perfectly? I doubt it. And yet we see Samson here is recognized in chapter 11 of Hebrews as a man of faith. So we see Samson ended well, and should that not be our goal and our prayer? And Apostle Paul said it maybe best or very, very well in Philippians 3:12. "Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And Lord, we're just wretched sinners saved by grace. We long to be free from these bodies, free from the pride and the arrogance and the selfishness, free from the comments that come out of our lips and out of our mouth. We know we're to impart grace to the hearer for every word we speak, and yet, Lord, I can't get through one day without words coming out of my mouth that I wish I hadn't said, words that are harmful or hurtful. And even as Japheth would pray, which is a prayer for all of us, I think, and certainly for me, that I would not cause pain today, that this day, September 27, would be a day redeeming the time, and that, Lord, you would find us available and willing to pray, willing to seek you and willing to follow you, Lord. I thank you that we have these few moments this morning to pray together. I thank you that we can pray in one accord as we're led by one Spirit, you, Holy Spirit. And we come to you, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So guide us and lead us in this time of prayer to put on our hearts the things that are on your heart, and that our objectives and goals and desires would be that of yours. So lead us now in this time of prayer in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.